We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The very satisfying sounds of Everybody Loves Raymond. We're talking about Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Ray's on the Nemacolin fan hotline. Nemacolin around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. Raymond, I'm looking at the NFL standings, and I don't say this jokingly. When I look at teams with at least seven losses, I see Browns, Steelers, Jags, Texans, Raiders, Broncos, Lions, Packers, Bears, Saints, Panthers, Cardinals, and Rams. Half the league stinks. The Steelers, if they want to get a top five or even top 10 pick, they need to keep losing. And I look at this as a swing game. This is all joking aside, I think, an important game to lose.
Well, and then you're going to have one the week after, because I know the Falcons don't have seven losses, but they're a very beatable team. You mentioned the Raiders and the Panthers. There's going to be a lot of games like this down the stretch. Joe, you know the Steelers are going to try everything in their power to win these games, but you're right. You know, if they want to have a top 10 pick, it's looking more and more like they're going to have to be, I think, 6-11 or worse to get that.
Do you think they'll have any so-called strategies, and these happen across sports, where they're in quotes trying to get a look at some younger guys? Maybe they put TJ Watt on a little bit of a pitch count later in the year. Maybe they sit him and Cam in for the final game, if it's obviously going to be a meaningless game, things like that. Or is it more like just what you said? That last game against Cleveland, when the Steelers go in with five wins, they're going to treat like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I was at practice yesterday, Joe, and I was thinking about this. Like, what could they do? What guys would they want to look at if they could over the final 6-7 weeks of the season? And I asked Terrell Austin about this yesterday because Arthur Mallette had a tough day against the Bengals. I said, you know, do you want to put Cam Sutton back inside and take a look at James Pierre on the outside? And basically Terrell said, you know, we're looking to do everything we can to win games, but we don't think that is the right move right now. So that's one of the ones I was thinking of. The other one is Kendrick Green. You know, we're now, what, 12 games into the season, 11, 12 games into the season. The guy hasn't dressed yet. So eventually, do you want to take a look at him and, you know, see what you got with him as a guard? You know, so that's another one. But there's only 53 guys on the roster, Joe. There's probably only two or three more instances like Pierre and Green that we're even talking about here. So, you know, based on what Austin told me yesterday about Pierre, I tend to think, no, we're not going to get many of those situations down the stretch.
Ray, you mentioned Austin, and then Matt Canada spoke yesterday as well. Did either of them say anything that stood out to you?
Well, I was only able to go to Austin. And, you know, Austin was, you know, they're last in the league in pass defense now. I wrote about that yesterday. For Sunday, I'm writing about the highest paid defense in the league and how they're getting little bang for their buck there. So, you know, he's kind of been, you know, for the entire season up until recently, I think Matt Canada has been the lightning rod for criticism. And I think now, you know, Austin is, I don't want to say he's catching up, but, you know, I think more and more people are talking about the shortcomings of this defense. As I mentioned, 32nd in pass defense, I think 28th in total defense, and 26th in scoring defense, guys. If you would have told me that before the season started, you know, I wouldn't have believed you. And I know they've had injuries. DJ Watt's been out. The secondary has been ravaged by injuries. But everyone in the NFL has injuries. And the Steelers, for whatever reason, just haven't been able to overcome those injuries and put a defense out there that's capable of stopping people on a week-to-week basis.
All right, where do we put the blame, Ray? I mean, everybody thought Brian Flores would come in here and have a big deal with the defense, a new coordinator with Austin taking over for Keith Butler. Yet, is it Tomlin still totally in charge of everything? Where do we put the blame?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could put the blame on all three. You know, it's there really hasn't been a lot discussed this year as there has been in years past about, you know, Butler, is he the D coordinator, is really Tomlin? That's kind of gone away this year. So I don't know what to tell you in that respect. I think all three of those guys have influence on the defense, and it just hasn't been a good year for those guys. You know, people think Brian Flores was going to have a bigger impact on this defense. He really hasn't. You know, I think the inside linebackers they've been okay at times, but at other times, as we saw against the Bengals, they were really a big negative for the defense. And, you know, the inability to get Samaje Perine on the ground in that game really, really hurt that defense. So, I don't know. You could place the blame in a lot of people in a lot of places on this team, but it just hasn't been a good year for the defense overall. And, I thought really – that was going to be a strength of this team. I thought maybe, you know, I thought back to 2019, right, where everything kind of went haywire on offense. The defense picked it up in 19, and they were 8-8. You really haven't seen that this year. Different circumstances, obviously, between, you know, why the offense is bad this year compared to 2019. But I don't know if the guys are older or maybe some offenses around the league have figured out the Steelers. I'm not sure exactly why, but they haven't been nearly as good as they were back in 2019.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Join us for a night of Christmas karaoke at Mike's Beer Bar on Thursday, December 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. along with our fan hosts. The guest list includes David Bednar, Heather Abraham, and Bob Pompiani, and many more. Simply bring a pair of new clean socks or make a $5 donation for Socks for City. All right, Ray. Let me ask you a question off the board a little bit. Would you consider, do you think Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin would ever consider the R-word rebuild? And what I mean by that is, to me, that would the thing that would most signify a rebuild is to trade somebody, well, TJ Watt, basically. Khalil Mack, at the same point in his career, drew two first-round picks in a trade. If I told you T.J. Watt would give you two first-round picks, and you're already picking 8th, 33rd, and 38th in this draft, add another top 10 pick and add one next year, would you consider that? Do you think they've thought about that? Let's just turn this over. Let's trade T.J. Let's trade Cam and just turn the whole thing over.
I don't think so. I think T.J. Watt is a generational type of player. The guy is trending toward being a Hall of Famer, and you just don't get rid of those guys and trade them for potential players down the road when you don't even know who those types of players would be. Now, the other ones, I don't know. You know, Cam Hayward has been such a leader and such a captain for this team that I personally wouldn't do that either. But at least that one would be on the board because it would make sense. And maybe if you truly didn't feel like you can win within the next year or two, you would want to do him a favor and maybe get him in a position where he could win. But, no, me personally, I would never trade T.J. Watt for two first-round picks. You know, look at the team that acquired Khalil Mack, San Diego. The L.A. Chargers have Joey Bosa on one end, Khalil Mack on the other, and they're still a 500 football team.
Well, I should say, Ray, just to jump in, it was the original trade of Mack to the Raiders, right? Is that where he first went? Bears to Raiders.
That was the original one.
The original one where two first-round picks were exchanged.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I could point out where acquiring defensive players and spending a lot of money on them, like the Steelers this year, it doesn't really always work out for you. But still, just knowing with the caliber of player T.J. Watt is, knowing that he's only 28 years old, you still got 2 to 3, maybe 4 years left in his prime. I'm keeping that guy.
You mentioned Cam. I don't know what Cam is going to bring you back at his age, you know? I mean, how about somebody like Minka?
Minka, they love Minka too, though. Like, to me, that's the issue with the Steelers' defense. That trio eats up 24% of their salary cap this year, okay? And you guys, you got guys like Alex Highsmith on a rookie contract who's playing well. But there are other guys who are just stopgap guys who aren't playing well right now. And I can go down the list, you know, guys who are playing on low salaries because you have to fill out your defense with guys like that when you have so much money tied up in your big three. So Levi Wallace, Akello Witherspoon. I think Cam Sutton's playing pretty well. I'm not going to put Cam Sutton in there, but Arthur Mollett, you know, the guys making, you know, the minimum or a little bit above the league minimum, those are the guys that sometimes have to step up and play better when your stars are out. And we didn't see that this year. When TJ was injured, the pass rush waned, and those guys I just spoke about kind of, they were exposed, right? And, you know, I think that's the issue. When you're spending all kinds of money on defensive players the way the Steelers are, you need kind of role players to step up, and they just haven't had that this year.
Ray, I may have asked you this before. Quite frankly, I can't remember, and I'm sure neither can anyone else, so I'll ask you again. If I gave you, all things being equal, you get the same level of star player here potentially in next year's draft with that first pick, and I tell you, you can have a star offensive tackle, a star center, a star corner, or a star inside linebacker to run your defense, which position would you be inclined to go for?
Out of those four possibilities...
Or another one. If you have another one, feel free.
Well, I mean, you left out defensive tackle, but I would think strongly about going with a shutdown corner. Let's say they pick in the top five and there's a Sauce Gardner type of player out there. That could really go a long way toward finally rounding out your defense, right? Because you got the edge in TJ, you got Minka as your center fielder in the back end. They don't have that shutdown corner. And I think, you know, Ron and I were talking about this yesterday. What a guy like Darrell Revis did for the Jets for so many years. I mean, basically shut down one side of the field. They don't have that now. They haven't had that in a long time. And I really think that is something that could go a long way towards fixing their issues on defense. I don't know if there's going to be a guy like Sauce Gardner this year, but if there is, you know, I think the Steelers have to think strongly about going out and trying to get that guy.
Joe, do you have a game of free association for Raymond here before we ask his prediction for Monday night?
Ron, of course I have a game of free association.
And it's always the highlight of the Ray Fittipaldo interview. Ray, keep your answers short. Yes or no, sometimes will suffice. You understand the rules. I know sometimes you stray from them, but Joe gets angry. So he's ready to go. Let's do it.
We're going to expand this to an NFL-style free association, Ray, which is very exciting for everybody. Who wins the AFC East?
Buffalo.
Who wins the AFC North?
Baltimore.
Who's the best team in the NFC?
I know Minnesota got trounced last week, but I'm going to go Minnesota.
You're kind of straying a little bit there, Ray. You kind of went out of the lane. You went out of the
lane.
All
I needed
there
was Minnesota.
You went out of
good.
The lane.
That's fine. Your Super Bowl pick right now. We don't care before the season. Right now, if you had to bet everything you own, who would you bet your two Super Bowl teams would be?
Minnesota, Kansas City.
Very interesting.
He's high on Minnesota.
Who's your MVP right now?
My MVP right now for the entire league, it would be Patrick Mahomes.
Who's going to finish in last place in the AFC North, the Steelers or the Browns?
Oh, my come down to the last week, I'll go Browns.
Is Deshaun Watson going to be bad, average, good, or great the rest of the season? What does he have, Ron? Four games he's going to play? Five?
Right.
Something?
I'll say average.
Thank you, Ray.
Raymond, have a good trip.
We didn't get his pick, Ron.
Oh, that's right. Who do you like on Monday night?
I will go Steelers 24, Colts 23. Matthew Wright pulls it out in the end.
You have 24 points. You have a lot of faith in that Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett-led offense.
Not necessarily. There could be a defensive touchdown in there somewhere.
Thank you, Ray.
See you in Indy, Raymond.
All right, guys. Talk to you.
He never disappoints, does he, Ron?
He sometimes doesn't follow the rules, but he's okay. He tries.
He tries. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up next, speaking of next year's draft, Jerry Dulac's chat, which was real hot this week. Oh, was it hot this week. He says, in all caps, there's a very good chance they'll draft this position with the top pick. I'll tell you what he said next on Cookin' Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Ron, you had a thought on your mind?
I do, Joe. You're from Buffalo.
That's correct.
You know about the Bills' haunted history, right?
Very well.
Did they take a big blow yesterday with Von Miller going down with what could be a serious knee injury? They're saying they're going to know more, I guess, early next week. That could be a killer for their defense, right?
That would be the end of their defense and would put a serious crimp in their Super Bowl hopes. And those are the things you worried about from week one if you were a Bills fan when they destroyed the Rams. Is a guy like Von Miller going to last for 17 games? They lose him. They lose, I can't remember which of the safeties now, Hyde or Poyer. They lost him for the year.
Poyer didn't have a good game yesterday, I don't think.
And Josh Allen's been banged up. All they talked about yesterday was how he looked like he was hurt, and he did. Of course, when it came time to unleash a 25-yard shot down the middle of the field late in the game, he did that. He will always give them a chance. I saw Schefter say he was somewhat optimistic. There was some optimism in Buffalo about Von Miller. All anyone cares about is that he plays in the playoffs. Nothing else. He could sit out the rest of the year.
But this is what Buffalonians – is it Buffalonians?
Yes.
This is how they live their life, waiting for something bad to happen.
Justifiably,
right?
Yes, as we can see. And it's the old – is it an axiom? I don't know. It's just a truth, is that when you have the best team, you best win that year when you're healthy. They had the best team last year. They were the best – I think they were the best team in football last year. And they had the Chiefs, and it would have taken a miracle to beat them and keep them from advancing. And look what happened, a miracle, and it was their fault. When you have the best team, Ron, you best win that year because you never know when you're going to have another chance.
I don't think they have the best team this year myself.
I thought they did before the injuries.
Right.
But I agree with you now.
Kansas City is going to be hard to beat, especially if it ends up going through Kansas City the road, you know.
Yeah.
Buffalo needs the championship at home.
I think Baltimore is right there with Kansas City. I do when they're healthy, man. They have every ingredient you could possibly want for, with the exception maybe of big-time outside weapons.
They don't have the great wide receivers.
Right. But they do have a great tight end. They have, and their defense. That's
they can
the
run
thing.
The ball with no matter who is back there.
They've built a defense there with a stud rookie safety. Two, not one. Steelers need one elite corner. The Ravens have two who are healthy at the moment, and then they go out and get Roquan Smith to pair him with Patrick Queen.
They're pretty good. Although the line in the Jacksonville game is 3.5.
That's respect for my Jaguars. One score game every game this season. They have absolutely gotten better.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned Jacksonville, and you like Jacksonville. I'm doing a show yesterday with Nate Haluschek.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, he said Starkey was so gung-ho about Jacksonville beating Indianapolis in that last game last year. He said, I put some money on it and won.
Did he?
And he goes, I'm appreciative of Mr. Starkey for his passion for Jacksonville. He said that yesterday.
What a nice man, Ron.
He said that yesterday. I said, well, some of the experts, Chelsea, said that Jacksonville had zero chance. He didn't want to hear that.
She remembered that and still does.
Oh, my God. She'll never forgive like me for that.
I told you that Jerry Dulac in his chat this week, and it came out
it was
smoking.
Hot.
It was a hot chat. Said there's a very good chance. And when Jerry puts something in caps like that, it tells me that he knows maybe what they're thinking. Or that a source has told him this. He says there's a very good, Ron. And when it's in caps, you say it loud.
Very good.
Chance they will draft a tackle with their top pick. You okay with that?
That doesn't shock me, surprise me at all. I would be perfectly fine with that. As long as, you know, they get the guy.
What if I told you or asked you what I asked Ray Fittipaldi? All things being equal, I'm going to tell you
that
you're going to get a great player. Center, corner, or inside linebacker.
I'll take that tackle. Hopefully for the next 10 years for Kenny Pickett.
I'll take a center.
Okay, I could live with that too. I mean, a stud offensive lineman.
You get
Marquise Pouncey again, I'll sign up for that.
I like teams that are built from the inside out, and great Steeler teams have been. A center and an inside linebacker, but I wouldn't argue with a tackle or a corner.
And you it's like, not like the I'd corner be ripping too, them. Right?
Yeah. Well, they're going to have three picks in the top 38 as things stand right now, and they need to keep losing. They really do, man, because the standings, as I indicated to you and Ray earlier, there's 13 teams that have as many losses or more than them. What would be the point of all this if you're going to draft 13th or 14th? Yeah, you might as well have gone 9-8 and gotten killed in the playoffs again.
A bad season and not get anything real. Well, you still can get a good player. 14
you
or
can,
whatever.
But it's not the
and
same.
And you're still going to have the Bears at 33 or whatever.
You want top five. You want a stud is what you want, Ron.
Yeah, you do. Everybody does.
Doesn't it intrigue you, the idea of them getting two first-round picks for TJ if they could, what they could do with that?
Sure. I'm a big draft choice guy. That's why when you asked me last year, Deshaun Watson, these quarterbacks, would you give up 2-3 first-round picks? And I said, no, I'm a big draft choice guy. Yeah, it would intrigue me.
It would intrigue me. I mean, for quarterback, that's a different story for me. But how long is TJ Watt's prime
going to
last?
Is he going to stay healthy, too? He's had injuries, man.
That's my question. In the meantime, I mean, the question for them is, do they think they have a window to win soon with Kenny Pickett? If you don't, then what exactly would be the point of keeping TJ Minka and Cam?
They say Cam, I think, is going to just finish his career here. You know, he's, 33, going to be 34. I don't think you get much for a player. Although he's still a very great player, I think he's going to finish his career here. The other two guys, maybe.
I think you could
maybe
still
not.
Get something pretty good for him. But
I don't know.
He's having another good year, they say, at places like PFF. I think probably not a first-round pick. You're right. Not a first-round pick.
Only because of his age.
Yeah. But who knows
How long is TJ Watt going to be in his prime? How long is Cam going to have left?
Do they think they can win next year with Pickett? They better think they can win next year with Pickett and the year after that.
They drafted him number one for that reason.
Mac Jones is starting to play better. That was a really good game yesterday. Did you watch that game?
Some of it, yeah.
highly competitive. The Patriots looked pretty good to me. It was a stupid roughing the punter call that cost them the game.
Belichick has a way of keeping them there, doesn't he?
He does, and they did it last year. They got to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. This year he's hit some rough spots, but they might make it again.
I don't know that they're going to get there, though, this year.
Who do you think will in their place?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it that closely. I mean, they're not going to finish ahead of Miami. They're not going to finish ahead of Buffalo. Those are two teams.
Yeah, we'll see.
You think they can still catch Buffalo or Miami?
Yes, I do. It would have been easier if they'd won last night, but they still have a game at home against Miami and a game at home against Buffalo. And other than that, they have Arizona. Wait a second. They have two games with Buffalo, Ron.
6-5. I don't know. Tough to get, you know, even if you split with Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
Well, we'll see what Miami. Well, we're talking about them making the playoffs, though. New England's in last place right now.
6-5, yeah. I think Buffalo, Miami finish ahead of them. I think Baltimore, maybe Cincinnati. Somebody's got to win the AFC South. That'll probably be Tennessee. And then the Chiefs, and I don't know if the Chargers can turn it around and save it or not.
Well, the Patriots.
I think it's going to be hard for the Patriots to get in. That's all I'm saying.
They're a half game out in eighth right now behind the Jets. So if I had to pick a favorite for that last spot, it would be, let's see, Jets, Patriots, the only teams I take seriously for the eighth spot are Jets, Patriots, and Chargers. There's no way the Colts are getting there.
No.
And then the rest of the AFC stinks. So there's spot.
They hang in there, don't they? I mean, they're well coached, even though they had all the controversy before the year about who's calling the plays.
That was a gigantic loss for them. If they're sitting here at 7-4, they're ahead of the Bengals. They're in the sixth spot, and they're a half game behind the Dolphins and Ravens and Titans.
They could have won that, too.
Man, was that a giant loss. All right, Ron. Coming up, our friend and yours, Matt Canada, had a lot to say yesterday. Acknowledged that lots of people want him fired.
Was he a little defensive? I didn't read anything.
I didn't hear it, but I read it. So I'd like to hear it in context when he said, essentially, yeah, a lot of you would like to see that. A lot of you would like to see that. Let's hear from Matt Canada next. We'll play the recording of him with reporters yesterday. Joel Nelson in today for our friend Folsey. I think Folsey's still sleeping, Ron. I think today's a sleep-in day for our little foal. He's in the corner of his stable underneath a bundle of hay. Do you agree?
I can see him getting up having a nice hot chocolate.
Yeah, still nice. In his pajamas, yeah, with a bonnet on.
Maybe a bagel and some hot chocolate, maybe.
Yeah. Do you have pajamas?
No.
When's the last time you wore pajamas to bed?
Maybe when I was 5, 6, something like that.
How about you, Jolie?
Long time.
You a pajama guy?
A little bit, you know, especially with these cold temperatures outside, you know, here and there, pretty much.
Like matching?
Maybe not so much the matching. Maybe for like Christmas, but
yeah,
not so much in general.
I'm thinking about getting my wife matching pajamas, Ron. I am a pajama guy. I'm more than happy to wear the matching set to bed.
I thought you wear everything. Socks, shirts.
I do. I wear thick socks to bed.
You're always cold, right?
Always cold. I'll wear a sweatshirt. It looks like I'm climbing Mount Everest every night. Sweatpants, sweatshirt, you know, with a hood, everything.
I blew people away yesterday. I'm at the Lombardo's for Thanksgiving. And we somehow got a room temperature. And I said, my condo, 62 degrees.
62?
62
could go ice fishing
degrees.
In there.
And that's basically what everybody's. I like it cold. There's no better feeling for me than snuggling under the blankets.
Yeah.
But then having to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or getting up to go for my walk is brutal.
Pee every night around 3, 4 a.m.? I do these days.
Pretty much every at 11, 1, yeah. 3, 5, pretty much.
My kid sleeps, likes it cold too. I went in there the other morning to wake her up as usual for school and the fan is on. It's freezing in her room. Why would you want that?
I don't like stuff blowing on me.
Neither do I.
I don't like a fan. But I like it cold. I like it cold.
All right, Ron. I'm glad we've
People
established
said,
that.
62 is ridiculous, though.
I thought Bink was bad. He had it down in the low 60s. I don't know that it was 62 in our house. We had the old radiators. You remember them? turn on the radiators, and if you touch them, you know, you'll burn your hand, that type of thing, in our house in Buffalo. That's how the house was heated. Did you?
No.
What'd you have?
What to heat?
To heat the house.
We had a furnace.
And it would blow through vents?
Yeah.
We didn't.
The dog always would love to lay in front of the vent.
That's what Bailey likes. Yeah, right in front of the vent.
Right, feeling that heat come out.
Anyway, I introduced Jolie to let everybody know that he's got the Matt Canada proceedings from yesterday, which were a bit spicy, informative, maybe more interesting than usual. So the way we like to do this, Jolie, is you play it. And when Ron or I wants to stop it, let whoever is speaking finish what they're saying and then stop it. And we'll editorialize for a while and then go back to it. Is that agreeable?
Consider it done.
Thank you, Jolie. Here we go.
See if he can follow orders, instructions. Some people have a problem with this.
Matt, what's changed in the running game that's made Najee so effective in the last couple of years?
Combination of everything. I think we're running it. You know, I think we're obviously continuing to. We talked about it back in the summer at camp, the line gentlemen getting work together. They're doing a very good job. The tight ends are doing a good job. And I think Najee is, you know, back to full strength. He'd probably tell you that. I think you see a difference in his approach as he attacks the line and those things. So, combination of everything. But it's been a, you know, moving the direction we wanted to move the last couple of weeks.
How's that open?
Sounds like a bar in there, Ron. What's happening? I thought they talked to these guys out on the field every week when I used to go there.
I don't know. Were they indoors yesterday, maybe?
Sounded like it. It sounded like they were all at a bar. Were they for Thanksgiving yesterday?
I think they went in early.
Ridiculous. All right. Go ahead, Jolie.
The rest of the offense for you.
Well, I think obviously you just continue to do that, and people are concerned about stopping run. It's going to give you more of those one high looks you're hunting for, and, you know, more opportunities for one-on-one on the outside, which obviously we're trying to get.
What is going on there?
Linebacker said that they're calling it predictable that you run the same plays over and over. What are your thoughts?
I think it's good for you guys to be able to talk about it. Obviously, we know we've got good self-scout on that. I think Coach Tomlin addressed it. So my answer wouldn't continue the narrative you're hunting. Obviously, I've you know, there's a backstory to that, but I'll leave it there.
Tell the backstory then. My God. Tomlin addressed it. Well, why don't you? They say you call the same plays. It's the same plays over and over again. I just want to, this guy is constantly on the verge of exploding, Ron. I just want to see him say, you know what? Just stand up for yourself. Or not. Unless they were telling the truth. Like, Tomlin didn't deny it. But what I would say is other Steelers teams have had predictable plays, too. Like, here comes Jerome Bettis off tackle 10 times
in a row
late in the game.
If you execute it well and
stop
run it.
It.
Yeah, stop it. That's right. It doesn't matter if they know it's coming. You can't stop it.
Instead of a passive-aggressive comment, oh, you guys love that, don't you? The coach addressed it. Oh, there's a backstory, by the way.
Well, did he follow that up, though?
I don't know. Is the backstory coming?
Go ahead, Joel. Hit it again.
It's hard to not get to explain your side. Because obviously, I can't say what you would have done, but how difficult is it?
I've got it. I've said it, and I mean it. I got the greatest job in the world. And part of that job is the privilege of staying here. And, you know, it is what it is. Like, we can do it right now. I can go through the second half play by play if you want and tell you exactly what happened. But I'm never going to put it, you know, on our players or anything else. If it doesn't work, it's on me, and that's part of it.
Hold on there. That's the old, I could throw somebody under a bus, but I won't.
That's right. Okay. I'll take the blame.
But you think somebody could be thrown under a bus then, if you say that. He said, I can go through the whole second half. I'm never going to put it on the players. So you think it was on the players is what I hear there, Ron.
Yeah.
I could definitely throw somebody under a bus here, but I won't. I magnanimously won't. But clearly you think somebody could be if you chose to.
Right. That's the way I heard it too.
That was very interesting.
I thought this backstory, I thought this guy that accused him, or, you know, the player for the Bengals that said, I thought he played for him at NC State.
Did he?
There's some sort of, that's what the backstory is there. I don't know. I don't know what.
That's interesting.
That's what I read somewhere.
Man, I just like to see him say, yeah, the Green Bay Packers used to have. Or USC has a predictable play, too, when they had all those running
student
backs.
Student body right student and body right. Left.
Every team in the league does. Stop it. You know, if you have plays that work, every team in the history of football
doesn't
can be predictable and has the same plays.
Know what is coming.
Instead, it's this passive, aggressive stuff, Ron. You guys would love that. I'm never going to say anything about the players, although I could go through the whole second half play by play here. Get out of here with this, Ron.
Get out of here.
I just want this guy. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat here. Just unleash on everybody. It doesn't matter. You're gone anyway, 90%. Just tell people off. Tell them what you think. Tell them what the truth is. I'm sorry, Jolie. Go ahead.
If it doesn't work, it's on me, and that's part of it.
Now, your plays have built-in options.
They do.
So how is that predictable when you have, say, 4 hours?
You're putting me in a spot where I can't answer that question. You know what I mean? I appreciate your question. Obviously, it was brought to my attention. It was said. I've known Pratt since he was in high school. You know, again, there's, as you guys do, all you're investigating under there, sometimes there's more to stories and fun than, but it is what it is. It's a good thing. We didn't win the game. We were not good enough in the second half. We called a screen on the first play of the second half. Had two guys out there. It didn't work.
Boy, does he want to just say.
He does.
He just wants to say those plays were out there in the second half. They should have been executed properly. And if they were, we would have had a bunch of points
and
in the second half.
And you wouldn't be calling me an idiot every week.
Right. Just sneaking.
But even when you do your investigations in here, there's backstories. Right. He said he's known this kid since he's been in high school.
So I think that was Jim Wexel.
The guy who said that they were predictable.
Did you hear that as Jim Wexel? I think that was him.
I didn't hear the voice.
Good questions. You have options on every play, so how can that be predictable? And he says, I can't answer that. Why not? Wouldn't a simple answer be, yeah, every play has multiple options, therefore we should never be predictable?
And again, that's almost like, yeah, we had options that we didn't right. take advantage of.
Right. And first play of the second half, and I remember it. It was a little wide receiver screen to Deontay. He essentially said right there, if we had two guys out there blocking, I'm assuming he's saying, and it should have been a good play, our guys failed. I'd almost just like to hear him rip all the players. Something, anything, Ron. It's like sitting there with a powder keg. We've all sat there with people who you know that they're mad at you, or you know they want to say something. Just say it, right?
I don't think he's ever going to, though.
But he kind of does anyway. Yeah, that first play, we had two guys out there, but oh, that's on me. We had three guys out there. It was a great design play, and if our players hadn't screwed up, we would have had a great play, but that's on me.
Did it blow up? Did they only gain a yard or two on that play? I don't remember
nothing.
The play.
And nothing. Then the second down was Najee for nothing. Third down was
nothing.
Probably a pass into the stands or something.
For
go ahead.
Nothing.
It didn't work. Called a run on second down. Didn't work. Third down, somehow their corners miraculously got his arm around Deontay's hand warmer there. We were trying to get the ball to him, so it didn't work. Next series there, I think we ran the ball into a two-shell look. That's what we wanted to do. Had a good run. Called a screen into a blitz, which I'm sure you know is what you'd like to do. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Didn't
plays
work.
Were good. Didn't work. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
So the guy had
his, didn't work.
Somebody had their hands on Deontay's hand warmer, Ron. I haven't seen that play.
I don't remember that one.
Hands on the old hand warmer. Not allowed to touch somebody else's hand warmer, Jolie. That's a 15-yard penalty. I think this is actually really good, though. This is very instructive and very interesting.
He's just, I can only imagine, you know, and he looks, he goes, well, it's Thursday. I got to go talk to those
the
guys.
Privilege of coming to talk
yeah,
to you,
you
guys.
Know, it's just got to make him sick as he's walking out there.
Right.
You know,
imagine though, like Bruce Arians walking into that, like he'd be like,
oh, he'd be belligerent.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is what I want.
Absolutely.
Who else? Todd Haley.
Yep, exactly.
Would at least give his opinion.
Those guys were a lot more successful than this guy.
Could that have been part of the reason why? A little more belief in yourself?
Yeah, maybe. And having a Hall of Fame quarterback didn't
hurt
those guys too either. So.
Of course, he had that last year, but he was at the end of his career.
Right.
Of course, when he did scrap Matt's playbook, things seemed to go pretty well.
things improved.
Oh, Matt, you remember last year when your game plans went completely awry until Ben threw them down the toilet and you scored 20 points in a bunch of fourth quarters? Do you remember that? How was that for you? Would that be a good question, Ron?
That would be a great question.
Let's hear more of this because there was more of it coming at the top of the hour here. And I think he did get a little combative as if he's not already here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.